Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
I have learned already in this office that the difficult decisions always come to this desk. I must admit that many of them do not look at all the same as the hypothetical questions that I have answered freely and perhaps too fast on previous occasions.
That's Gerald Ford, born July 1913, died December of 2006, the 38th President of the United States, the first person appointed to the Vice Presidency under the terms of the 25th Amendment after Spiro Agnew resigned. Before ascending to the Vice Presidency, Ford served nearly 25 years as a representative from Michigan, 8 of them as the Republican minority leader. You can hardly go any place, it seems, where you won't find a yoga studio somewhere in town. The thing about it is, yoga isn't just for the fashionable young bodies, but it's now also for people who are over 55. In fact, special teacher training programs are now available to train the teachers who work with older adults. As an example, Duke University is clearly on the leading bandwagon with a Duke University integrative medicine program. So we spoke with Yoga for Seniors co-founder Carol Krukoff about what she does. And she explained that people come to her for a whole variety of reasons.
And most often it's because they have a particular health concern, and that can be something orthopedic, like back pain or neck pain or hip replacement or, something musculoskeletal. Or it can be a new diagnosis of cancer or another kind of life-threatening diagnosis. It's not uncommon that people come to integrative medicine when they do have kind of a scare that gets them very mindful that the way we live our lives, the way what we eat, how we exercise, how we move, how we sit, how we stand, can have a great impact on our health. So I see people for private sessions of yoga therapy. I also teach classes at integrative medicine, and the kind of classes I specialize in are really therapeutic yoga. So again, working with not your traditional population. When people think about yoga, one of the most common things I hear from people is, oh, I can't do yoga, I'm not flexible enough. And my comment for that is, well, you know, that's like saying my house is too messy to hire a cleaning service. You really don't have to be flexible to do yoga. All you have to be able to do is breathe. So the yoga classes I teach tend to be gentle yoga or therapeutic yoga. And not only does this attract folks over 50, but I also do have students who are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And in the older adult population, when people do reach the boomer and beyond age, you really have quite a variety of abilities. I think it's the most heterogeneous group of people, because you can have folks in their 80s who can run marathons and stand on their head, and you can have people in their 70s who can't get up out of a chair. So it's a very diverse population. So I tend to work with those folks who may be a little bit reluctant or concerned about trying yoga because of health considerations, and I specialize in yoga that is safe for people who have varied ailments.
Well, let's just jump back a little bit to what you were saying right in the beginning. Now, you work with people who might have some life-threatening issues. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Oh, sure. So, for example, say a cancer diagnosis often sends people to integrative medicine and to see various practitioners there, and including me. And, you know, cancer affects people on multiple levels. Of course, physically, there's the the disease process and the effect of the treatments. The treatments can be extremely challenging. They're often very fatiguing for people. There's an emotional component that's very stressful. So it's not uncommon for me to work with people who are, say, undergoing chemotherapy or radiation therapy. And one of the things that seems very helpful for folks is to teach them yoga breathing. So the basic relaxation breathing, the relaxed abdominal breath, can be a wonderful tool for helping people deal with the stress of going through cancer treatment. They can do yoga breathing while they're hooked up to their chemo, while they're waiting for news about the next test result. The toolbox of yoga offers many things. People tend to think about the postures, and yes, the yoga postures can be very helpful. But there's also the breathing practices, particularly the relaxation breathing, the three-part breath, the extended exhalation, the alternate nostril breathing. So breathing is always with you. It's right under your nose. You don't have to do anything special or bring anything special. If someone finds themselves in a stressful situation, turning the attention to the breath, slowing the breath, doing one of these techniques can be really profoundly useful. So that's something we teach. And then meditation is part of the yoga practice. Meditation, people sometimes think, is quite exotic. It's really doesn't have to be. Mindfulness, being present in the moment, watching the breath, is a form of meditation that can be extremely useful for people with varied conditions or stressors. Heart disease is another area that I tend to work with folks who have had, who are in cardiac rehab. And I myself was in cardiac rehab. I had an aortic valve replacement done in 2008 when I was, I'm 59 now, so I was about 54. I was born with a congenital abnormality in my aortic valve, and it became severely narrowed, so I had a valve replacement. And I practiced what I preach. I used my yoga breathing before my open heart surgery to deal with the stress of the surgery and my whole yoga practice in recovering, and I'm very grateful to have made a complete recovery from open heart surgery. So I can connect with my clients on that level as well.
Carol, as you know, Duke University is one of the most acclaimed schools in the country. Tell us a little bit more about this integrative medicine program that they have.
What integrative medicine is it's an evidence-based approach where we incorporate, and I say we, the Duke Integrative Medicine is physicians, and we have acupuncturists on staff, massage therapists, health psychologists, nutritionists. So we really look at all the many areas that contribute to health and wellness. So it's a patient-centered approach where the patient is really at the center of the what we call the wheel of health, and the varied practitioners are really part of the support team, and the focus is on enhancing health and well-being. So as opposed to maybe a traditional model that kind of just focuses on the disease and curing the disease, that's part of the approach, but that's not all of the approach. We also look at all of the varied aspects that contribute to health. As I mentioned, nutrition, physical activity, rest, relationships. So what integrative medicine is an approach that really looks at the whole person, and the focus is on enhancing health. We do, it is not alternative medicine. So sometimes people get those terms confused. Alternative medicine is kind of instead of traditional allopathic health care, where someone doing alternative medicine might not use Western medicine and instead use some other alternative. So integrative medicine is not that. Integrative medicine uses the best of Western medicine. So we are thrilled to be part of Duke University and all of the fantastic traditional Western medicine that's offered there. But in addition to having, say, the heart surgery or the stent placed or the high-tech medicine or the pharmaceuticals, we also might look at, well, what is that person's nutritional status? What are they eating? What is their what kind of tools do they have for managing stress? Might they be able to enhance their health with a tool such as mindfulness? What are their exercise habits? Might they enhance their health with physical activity, traditional Western exercise, or perhaps yoga, or perhaps both? So, and all of the practices that we do at Integrative Medicine do have an evidence base. So, you know, this is not the word that comes to mind. I'm not sure this is the best word. It's not quackery. We rely on evidence-based therapeutics. Yoga is has an emerging body of literature that's supporting its effectiveness for a variety of health outcomes, including relieving back pain, relieving conditions such as asthma. It's been seen as very useful, and these are noted in the National Institute of Health, the National Institute of Complementary and Therapy, that yoga may be useful for easing anxiety, for helping people with arthritis, for helping people regulate their blood pressure, particularly lowering high blood pressure, for relieving insomnia, for irritable bowel syndrome. So there's certainly a growing body of literature that supports yoga. And then the other therapeutics that are practiced at Integrative Medicine, like acupuncture and nutrition, also have this kind of documentation and evidence base.
So I know you train trainers, but where would someone go who doesn't live immediately in your area to find out more about how they can get into a program like that to help them?
Well, there's a network of integrative medicine centers around the country. One of the leading organizations is called the Bravewell Collaborative. So if one were to Google the Bravewell Collaborative or even Integrative Medicine, they might find a center near them. And typically those centers are, the most reputable centers are affiliated with an academic medical center. So there are centers in San Francisco, in New York, in Texas. So looking for an integrative medicine center that is affiliated with an academic medical center, in general, you'll find the highest quality, in my opinion, practitioners in a location like that. And in terms of yoga, looking for a yoga therapist, there is an organization called the International Association of Yoga Therapy, and this group is an organization of people like me who specialize in yoga that is designed to help people who are dealing with a health challenge. So their website is IAYT.org, the International Association of Yoga Therapy. So that's an option. And there are other resources as well. With my colleague, Kimberly Carson, who she and I offer a Yoga for Seniors teacher training, we've created a DVD called Relax into Yoga that's available on Amazon and other places online. And Relax into Yoga is basically a very approachable introduction to yoga that's designed for people who are either older adults or who have health challenges, who want a gentle but effective practice. So that's a resource that's out there, the Relax Into Yoga DVD.
I wonder how health insurance plans have kept up with helping people with these.
Well, I sure wish people could get reimbursement from health insurance for yoga sessions. That's not here yet. Maybe in the future. There are some projects that are going on with some health insurance companies that are doing research that's looking at the effectiveness of yoga. There's one that's happening that I'm aware of in California, and I better not say the company because I'm not 100% sure, but I know there's a big clinical trial going on looking at yoga in the workplace, and what the preliminary results of that trial found. These are workers who were taking a yoga class, I think it was one or two times a week for 12 weeks, and looking at outcomes like their sick leave, their productivity, and at least the preliminary results showed that there was such a great benefit that they may be making yoga available free to their workers. And I'm aware of another clinical trial that's going on that's going to be looking at the effect of yoga in helping people who are opioid dependent, chronic pain, get off their medications. So if, in fact, trials like these do show what we in the yoga field think, you know, we've seen, at least anecdotally with our patients, some of them are able to get off pain medication or reduce pain medication or even blood pressure medication through a yoga practice. If this research moves in the direction that we're hoping, then perhaps someday the insurance company will recognize that, wow, it's a whole lot cheaper for us to pay for yoga classes than it is to pay for these expensive medications.
Yeah. What do you think it is when at one time yoga was looked at as just being kind of a trendy, fashionable exercise to now being something that shows evidence of effectiveness? So what is it about it that you think that does that, or that you've...
Well, that's a really good question. So my speculation would be that yoga's become increasingly popular, and my students, I have students who are doctors and nurses and therapists, and they get it in their own lives. They see it in their own lives, and the light bulb goes on, and they know how useful it's been in their lives for helping them deal with their own stress and pain and other issues. And then they're much more willing to refer their patients. And there's also this evidence base, you know, that's become kind of the buzz in healthcare, is that evidence-based healthcare has become the gold standard, that physicians look to, well, what does the literature say before I recommend a therapy? So when there was a very big trial by Dr. Karen Sherman and colleagues, that was a big randomized controlled clinical trial, so the gold standard of trial, that looked at the effectiveness of yoga for back pain. It was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And when that came out, showing that yoga was not only safe but extremely effective for people with back pain, then the willingness of a physician to refer a patient who has back pain to yoga would increase. So as the evidence accumulates that suggests that yoga is very effective and safe, then that's part of the reason why I think there's just more more going on, and more physicians referring people to yoga, and more yoga in the medical community.
So you mentioned your DVD. Where else might someone go if they want to start getting involved in a yoga program for baby boomers?
Well, yoga has gotten so popular that there's such a variety of offerings out there that are called yoga. And in my opinion, some of them really aren't yoga classes. There's in particularly in athletic clubs and gyms, there are often the variations of yoga that are taught there may be taught by an exercise instructor who took a weekend workshop in yoga. So it's what I call yoga-flavored exercise. It's not doesn't incorporate the breathing and the mindfulness and the attitudes. Because yoga, it's not just about what you do, but it's also about how you do it. So not straining, not striving, not competing, not showing off. This is very different from Western exercise. I'm a fan of Western exercise, too, don't get me wrong. But yoga is not that. It's an approach. It's a mindset. So I would be very cautious about just jumping into any old yoga class. Not all yoga classes are alike. I would look for a teacher who is well-trained. So someone who's a member of the International Association of Yoga Therapists might suggest that they have training in working with older adults and people with health challenges. At the very least, they ought to have a 200-hour certification with the Yoga Alliance. So I would look for a teacher with training. And to make sure that this is a class that's going to be safe, you know, how long has the teacher been teaching yoga? I'd want someone who's experienced, and experience in working with a population, an older adult population. And I, again, to go back to what I was saying earlier, this doesn't mean that everybody over 50 needs to do chair yoga. That's not it at all. They might be able to do and want to do a very vigorous form. So styles of yoga vary. You can get vigorous, sweaty yoga, and you can get relatively gentle, meditative yoga. So recognize that there's a broad array of options out there. Maybe even watch a class to see if you like it. And you might visit the websites of the International Association of Yoga Therapists, look for a well-trained teacher there, or of the Yoga Alliance, and look for a well-trained teacher there. And then try it.
So like anything, there is a learning curve involved, and oftentimes a case may be where you just want to give up, or it's not as easy as it looked. So how do you avoid those pitfalls and tendencies to hang it up because it's too hard?
Very true. And a good teacher is going to be monitoring that. So again, that's why it's really important that you're working with a good teacher. So progress in yoga, particularly in my opinion for people 50 and up, is not about can you do more difficult postures and are you working your way to a headstand. In fact, for most people over 50, I would not recommend ever doing a headstand. You know, if they've been doing a headstand all their life and they love a headstand, that's fine. But for somebody who's new to yoga, coming in at age 50 and over, that's not where I would go. So if it's a yoga class that's kind of building into some peak pose and, you know, at the end of the 12 weeks you're going to be doing a headstand, that's not the approach I would take. To me, progress in yoga is measured by how comfortable people are in their own body, how aware they are becoming, how they're dealing with their breath, how it impacts their life and their stress outside of class, and certainly the ability to perhaps do postures more easily. That could all be part of it, but I would say appropriate postures. So, you know, standing on one leg in tree pose, without holding on, that might be huge, and that might be something to aspire to, as opposed to, I'm going to need to sit cross-legged in lotus pose with my feet on my thighs. So just getting rid of that whole competitive mindset is really, really important, and approaching the practice as a time to really enjoy your body, release tension, stretch places that are tight, strengthen places that are weak, and really connect with a sense of joy in your own inner myself. And I do have, in addition to the DVD, I have a CD that takes people through a class. It's an audio CD, and I have a new book that just came out called Yoga Sparks. It's 108 easy practices for stress relief in a minute or less. And I wrote that because in working with individual clients and also in classes, it seems clear that some of the things that really help people the most are little practices. I call them micro practices, just little things you can do during the day that can make a dramatic impact on your health, whether it's taking a moment to notice your posture. You know, if I were to say to you, freeze right now, anybody who's listening, just freeze and notice how you're sitting or standing. What shape is your spine? Are you all curved over? Are you sitting on your sit bones? Is the crown of your head lengthened up to the sky? Where are your shoulders? Are they relaxed or are they tense? Just notice and then make whatever adjustments, and these are what we learn in the yoga practice, make the little adjustments to come into a good posture, and that becomes a habit. And then you're always standing or sitting with good posture, and that can make a huge impact on people's health, not just for their musculoskeletal system, but also for their respiratory system and circulatory system. When people are crunched over all the time, which is really common in our culture, people sit slumped. That can compress respiration, it can compress circulation and cardiovascular function. Something as seemingly small as learning to sit up straight or to stand with good posture can have a profound effect on people's lives. So these are the yoga sparks, these little practices that people can do throughout the day that I've collected 108 of them in this new book.
Well, it's so inspirational. Carol, we could go on at least twice the time we've devoted here, but maybe another time. But I do sincerely thank you for your time, and it's been very informative.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much. And I just like to add as a tag that I have a 6-minute breathing exercise or breathing practice that will be on my website in the next couple of weeks as a free download. So if people are interested in learning yoga breathing, it should be up on my website soon. My website is www.healingmoves.com, so they can download it and learn yoga breathing.
Well, thanks again, Carol. And if you want to get more information on this program, you can check out the website at DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org, www.DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.